Hello, and thank you for tuning into the Ask a Private Lender podcast. Really excited today with the guests that we have on today. We have Alex Conconi from Lendesk, and now we have Greg Williamson, who is also at Lendesk. I'm sure you've all heard of the acquisition. Guys, thank you for stopping by today. So now, Finmo has been acquired by Lendesk. So first of all, congratulations. I think that's incredible on both sides. And I think it's a win for not only you guys, but I think the industry as a whole. I think it's important when these different technologies come together and they build something that's better together than what could have been separately. So kudos to you guys. Why don't we start off with how this all came about? And if you want to start off maybe with your backgrounds, Alex, you're the CEO and founder of Lendesk. You guys started, I think it was 7 years ago, right?
Yeah, crazy how time flies. But yeah, it's been about 7 years since we first started on this project. That's now become my life.
Very cool. And Greg, you guys started Finmo. And your partner's name was Carter, right?
Carter Zimmerman.
Very cool. And you guys started a few years ago, right?
Well, we officially incorporated in April of 17, so just a little over 3 years.
And your original vision, being in the broker space for, you know, I don't want to say how many years because it maybe will age you a little bit, but you were in the space for a significant amount of time, and I guess you saw a void in the market. You saw that there would be a better way to do things for brokers, to submit deals, to get your work done. And you guys started that venture to kind of put it into place and help out the community.
Yeah, sure. I mean, just so you know, I actually have been in the broker business about 25 years or so. But what you may not know is that I'm the youngest ever to be licensed. I got licensed when I was 10 years old. So that's why it's okay to talk about that I've been in the business for 25 years. But no, I'm just kidding. I was a broker. You know, I was fortunate enough to enjoy some pretty good success in that business. And it started out really, I met Carter and he came to work with me at my brokerage, generating leads, particularly online. He was a master and he's from the US, and that was just, you know, the world shrinking and I could find somebody and we got along famously. And then he got to the point where he could drive so many leads. But if you recall back then, 6-7 years ago, the drop off was massive when the customer says, okay, I'm interested, you know, now what do I got to do? And so to get the application or to get the communicate, you know, get the customer into the system, you know, that what was available at the time was, you know, not good enough, I guess. And so, interesting side story, because he's from the US, his original inspiration was Rocket Mortgage, because, you know, Rocket Mortgage came to the market and it was like, hey, they, you know, this is what I was talking about, push button, get mortgage, you know, all digital. And it's just funny how the world works, because here we are, we're part of Rocket now. So, but that's true. And then, you know, he was showing me Rocket Mortgage at the same time that I was understanding that there was an opportunity to disrupt in the marketplace, like, you know, in terms of what was available. And so that's how Finmo was born. And that's how we came together.
Very cool. And how did this deal come about? Alex, was it something that you guys at Lendesk thought you were lacking in your system that you wanted to pick up? Was it, were you guys friends before this deal and you guys knew of one another and just kind of batting ideas together? Like, how did it happen?
So Greg, how did we meet? I think we met through, it would have been Greg Paul on our team. I know a lot of people know Greg Paul. He would have been calling Greg. I think you might have been on vacation in Hawaii. Is that right? And he wanted to give you a demo of our system. And I think your response at the time was, well, I'll take the demo, but just so you know, I think I'm going to be starting a competing system. And so before you demo me, make sure that you know that, you know, I might become a competitor someday. And so Greg said, okay, well, I'll take that back to Alex. So Greg brought that up with me. Greg Paul brought that up with me. And I said, well, that's very interesting. It was clearly a high integrity individual who would say something like that. I got to meet this guy. So we had a call. You were still on vacation and he told me about his plans. And obviously I think it was clear from the beginning. I mean, I liked Greg as a person right away, even before meeting him, just hearing about him through Paul. But as soon as we got on that first call, I think it was clear to me that we shared a vision for how the process could just be made easier for everybody. But I think the first thing I tried to do is just convince him, look, You don't want to get into this business.
That's true. It's a true story. He was trying to talk me out of starting it.
And, because I said, I was like, just work with us. Because like, I'm telling you, man, the only way you're going to make a business out of this is to make sure that you've got access to lenders. And, you know, really our journey was a little bit different than the Finmo journey in that Finmo kind of really started with brokers and working with brokers. We started on the other side. We started with all the lenders. So, and I had just been at that point in time, I think we're talking maybe 2 years ago or so, maybe 3 years ago. I was right in the thick of completing building our lender network. So, you know, flying back and forth. I live here in Vancouver. I know you guys are in Toronto. Flying back and forth, Vancouver to Toronto, meeting with these lenders who are mostly headquartered in Toronto, trying to find the right person at these lenders to convince to connect with our system so we could make this vision a reality. You know, I knew firsthand just how difficult putting together that lender network was, but I also knew how important it was to making sure that you could deliver on this vision of, you know, digitizing the process, of which right in the middle, you get this very important step, which is get the application into the lender's hands. And that's how simple it is today. We're going well beyond that now. We're doing the whole back and forth with documents and statuses, et cetera. But, you know, really the marriage that Greg and I stayed in touch for over the years, and actually I got to know Carter as well and some of the other members of the team. And really, I think what brought this all to a head was just that we have completed our lender network. We now have access to over 200 lenders. Not contrary to what you might hear from some of our competitors, we do have our own direct connections. There's some number of lenders that we work with other partners on, but we do have our own direct connections with, you know, Scotiabank, First National, Home Trust, Equitable, all the major lenders. And meanwhile, Finmo had done a really amazing job of, I think, building the number one digital mortgage experience for mortgage brokers and their clients in Canada, bar none. Another product we had at the time was we actually acquired last year and really I think has blossomed over the last 12 months is a product called Lender Spotlight, which is, again, another one of the most beloved products in the industry. So I think it's really just a matter of timing that it just made sense to bring all those parts together. And I think in having done so now, we've got the most complete digital mortgage platform in Canada. And it's just a matter of putting all those parts together. And I think our partnership with you and Mortgage Automator is a big part of that.
Very interesting. The way you say that, we put these products together, Lender Spotlight, for instance, people go and they log into the Lendesk platform.
Sure.
And yeah. Spotlight is in the Lendesk platform. Is that, and I don't know how it works currently with Finmo. I would imagine that people go to the Finmo platform. Is that going to transfer over and merge into the Lendesk platform, or are they separated?
We envision a future where, which comes along with our grander vision of mortgage in minutes, which if we have all the data in Lender Spotlight. So we have, you know, the third phase of mortgage in minutes is getting the lenders to get a much better submission package. I think a lot of our competitors often focus on, you know, building a great tool for mortgage brokers. Whereas we've always, at Finmo, we always started our vision with, I'm building a borrower experience. If I focus on the borrower and then and do that really well, well, then the mortgage broker is going to be happy. You know, joining up with Lendesk brought the other piece that we needed, which is, I need to focus on the lender. I need to make sure that the lender is actually, think about the two sides of it. You got the borrower and you got the lender, and the mortgage broker's in the middle. And so if I can make the lender's experience fantastic and so reduce their costs, you know, increase their efficiencies, well, then once again, as the mortgage broker, my target customer is better off and will choose my system. So we always did that side. So coming with Lendesk, we were focused on the lender. And I will say this, we hear this all the time. And at first I thought this seems really odd, but because I've heard it so many times, I think it's probably true. Lenders would say to us, look, man, I don't need any more business. I don't even want any more business. What I want is clean business. I want the best business. And so most platforms, if particularly if I'm only interested in creating, you know, the best mortgage broker tool, I won't be thinking of those things. And so most platforms will miss the obvious piece of, if I can give the lenders the type of deals they want, it's not just, you know, typical validations in our system. You guys have done it. I know you guys have built connections. You know how this, you know, the brain busting stuff of validations. It's one thing to just say, yes, there is something in this field. It's an entirely different thing when it's like, I know what's in that field and I can compare it against the data set that I know at Lender Spotlight. And so I know that this actually is a check. So for example, if I'm a lender and I've got all of your policies, when the customer presses submit on their application, I can run all of the queries in the Lendesk, in the Lender Spotlight database, so that I could show a mortgage broker like that, here's the four or five lenders that would actually do this deal. And I know that they'll do this deal because it meets their policies. And so then, you know, do you want to send it to one of those lenders? And the, you know, the mortgage broker could press send. And if all of the data and, you know, with those lenders that are up to speed on this and the documents could go all at once, that's how you create a mortgage in minutes. And that's what we're trying to do.
Joe, I remember you were a broker 15 years ago, whatever the number, you know, back in the day.
Now you're starting to age me a little bit now. Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
You had Lender Spotlight in your head, right? I remember we used to actually room together, right? We you know, rented a condo together. Yeah. And Joe, he'd always have all the products in his head. He'd have to know, right? So he'd almost get quizzed. Hey, what's the product at whatever company, and he'd have to know exactly what that product is.
Except, so do you know what I had to do? I had to, via Excel, put in every single product at the time where there was like City Financial, HSBC, FirstNet, all those lenders, and know every product from 75 to 85 to 95% with what premiums, what discounts, fixed rates, variable rates. It was a nightmare. I would have given away my unborn child at the time to literally have access to a system like that.
One of the big differences from when you used to do that, Joe, to today is that the governments have made things just more and more complex every year. Something like between 2008 and 2018, I think there's something like 10 different regulation changes, the consequence of which is that these rate matrices that the lenders put out are just getting more and more complicated. You know, it can now the rate that you're able to get can vary based off of loan to value, it can vary based off of credit score, it can vary based off of insurable, uninsurable, et cetera. So, you know, one product now can have, just for one product and for one term, can now have a number of different rates. So it's just, it's become that much more complicated to keep all of that in your head. And I think that, you know, it's a mutual problem, not just for the brokers, but for the lenders. The lenders, they think about their own products, each of them, in a slightly different way. They communicate them in a slightly different way. And that means the brokers are left to interpret these different rate sheets from all these different lenders. It's a real challenge. You know, I think with respect to alternative lenders in particular, what a broker might still be able to do, and certainly did back in the day, is, you know, for those main lenders that they use, they'll at least be able to remember indicative rates, and they'll at least be able to remember the few, their favorite products, that, you know, maybe their five-year variable, their five-year fixed, you know, insurable, uninsurable, normal ratios. They'll be able to remember a few of those key things. But what happens when the deal that comes across their desk doesn't fit those particular products that they've remembered or memorized? That is where I think something like Spotlight comes in very handy. You know, I think that's also a big reason why we've seen such explosive growth in the whole alternative side of the business, why your business has been growing, why many of your customers' businesses have been growing so rapidly, is just that alternative lenders have never been more important than they are today. And so, I mean, I'll give you a little bit of a inside track into some of the stuff that we're doing right now, but we are soon to be announcing some real enhancements to the Lender Spotlight platform as it pertains to the whole alternative side of the business. And I'll be really excited to share that with everybody. We got a number of things to share in the next month or so, but we'll be rolling that out really soon.
I have to say, like, I commend you guys for not only rolling out a product like Lender Spotlight, but I think connecting that to the FINMO platform, just providing that whole experience is, I think, brilliant. And I remember being a mortgage broker, the onus was on me to be really good at memorizing all these products. It's fair to say that not every broker is going to put in that kind of effort today. And I think you've made it much easier for them to be successful right from day one, potentially, just having all that at their fingertips. Now, I do want to kind of ask you guys a question. So you know, you're saying mortgage in minutes, and obviously we have a connectivity with Lendesk and creating that pipe from borrower experience to broker to lender and back. Walk me through the experience. I'm your borrower. I'm sitting with you, or I've spoken to you on the phone. Obviously it's COVID times. I'm starting off with the FINMO application. Walk me through how that user experience is going to be different or better than the old traditional way.
Sure. I mean, it's actually a good setup for what our original vision was in Mortgage in Minutes. It was three different phases. But with respect to, like, you guys know it because you run a tech company as well, but the very first thing was like, how do I get the information from the borrower in, you know, as seamless and as easy and quick as possible? The idea that, well, how hard can it be to create an application? And we used to hear that all the time. And it's like, well, if you want to create an application that's bad, it actually is not that hard. You know, and we've seen all kinds of things where it's just like, here's a big form, fill in all the blanks, and, you know, rage quit when you can't figure out why this thing won't advance because you didn't fill in a field. So, I mean, those are the, you know, I'm being facetious to make a point. It wasn't just that. It was think about, like, really think about the application. If the customer answers a question like this, don't ask them another dumb question that's not related to that first one. Ask them the next question that's actually going to be smart. And so, you know, we spent a lot of time doing that. And then I would say the second part of the application was, you know, think four steps ahead. What am I going to do with this data? And so when I get it from the customer, what am I going to do with it? And that actually led us into Smart Docs. And so easily the, you know, the biggest friction point of any mortgage experience for all parties involved is the documents. And so, you know, we tackled the first part was, how do we make this less friction for the borrower? And Smart Docs was the first thing. And it was literally just was something we had thought about before we built it was, if it's similar to what I said earlier about Lender Spotlight, if the customer presses submit on their mortgage, a computer should be able to fairly easily say, hey, based on how you answered these questions, here's the documents I need. That seemed really simple. And we built that, but, and funny enough, we didn't, nobody really tried to copy that too much that I know of, or didn't do it well. And I would say that the issue, the funny part, we got lucky, because when you're sometimes when you guys know this, when you're too close to something, you miss the obvious when you're, you know, solving a problem and you're trying to write code for it. What we learned was that the borrowers actually go get a lot of their core documents to answer the questions that are on the application. And so when they press submit on their application and it says, hey, Joseph, here's the documents I need. You're like, oh, wow, I got them right here. And so now, while now every other system that's in there, you press submit on it, it'll say, hey, Joseph, thanks for your application. I'll get back to you. And then 24 hours later, you come back and say, hey, here's an email with all the this crazy document list that I need from you. And the borrower's like, oh, wow, where did I put those documents?
And I've already lost them. They're already all over my kitchen,
yeah.
Basically.
And so that was a massive, you know, change for us. And so that was how we thought about documents, again, on this side. How we think about documents on the lender side is, you know, how can we get more and more documents at source, because it helps them from a fraud prevention standpoint, and it also just makes things smoother. So, you know, we're working on that, and as capabilities increase, we'll do that. And then it's just the simple part of, I mean, I still, in this day and age, the fact that I have to download my documents here, go walk over here and upload them over here, bizarre, crazy world. You know, somebody's got, and lenders are starting to realize, I got a competitive advantage if I can build modern API structures that companies like us could just boom, dump the documents right in for you. And that's the next big innovation, I think, that, you know, it's going to be led by the lenders. But that's how we thought about, you know, the first part in terms of getting that information into the system and always trying to stay a few steps ahead. And then it was so great, you know, getting connected with Lendesk, is now I didn't have to do that hard part that they had to do. And not just, you know, for us, I remember Alex, I said this to him in the very first few days that we started talking, I said, man, this is a classic 1 + 1 = 5. Like, this is just, it's unbelievable. We're right at that exact spot where put these two together and, you know, it's going to be great. And here we are.
So how many people are on the product now, whether it's, you know, Lender Spotlight, whether they're using Finmo, under that Lendesk umbrella, how many people are there? How many brokers?
Yeah, so as part of this transaction, obviously we've looked at the numbers quite closely. We've taken a look at all of the broker users that are using our platforms, including Lender Spotlight, and the brokers that are using Finmo. And I think once you net for some number that are already using both, we're over 10,000 brokers that are using one of our two platforms or both. And so I think that's, you know, we're quite excited about the opportunity to bring Finmo to those Spotlight brokers that aren't using Finmo yet, and vice versa. We think that by leveraging the data and the functionality that we've gotten Spotlight and bringing that to Finmo users, we think that we can make Finmo just that much stronger.
Because, like, I'm not a broker. I've never been a broker before. I've never been on that side. But it sounds like a home run. I couldn't imagine being a broker and not using like a lender spotlight, for instance. Like it just doesn't make sense to me.
It's a good setup actually to talk about kind of the, you know, an elephant in the room. It's interesting to me. Here's some of the knocks that I've heard out there in terms of why do I need a thing like lender spotlight? Or on the opposite side of that, they might say, well, man, if you're going to do all of this, is it your intention to try to get rid of me? We should just address these things. I mean, first of all, the idea, like Alex and I did this earlier, and you know, Joseph and I, when we were young people, were definitely in the mortgage business, and we get it, you know. And I think you'd agree with me. It wasn't as complex as it is today in terms of all the different, you know, government regulations and loan to value means this, and the rate is that, and all those kinds of things. And so, but what is also true, I think, is that most people, especially, I guess, certainly for me, it's really hard. I mean, Alex, how many we got? It's like 7,000 or 8,000 different types of data, iterations of the products that are in Lender Spotlight. How the hell am I supposed to remember all that?
A human will not be able to. And I remember the Excel sheets I used to have, and they were pages upon pages and lines of repeat information. And what you guys are doing is literally putting it on a silver platter with a bow and a cherry on top and making their lives ridiculously easy. And obviously with, you know, closing the circle where you've got now the consumer experience using Finmo, then that information is now flowing into Lendesk. Now that information is going to institutional lenders. It's going to a plethora of private lenders now. Now all the brokers have access to all their private favorite privates digitally on that system. It just makes this whole thing so much easier. I want to ask you something. I don't want it to get away from you because it is important to talk about. But you know, you're looking at everything from a high level perspective, and you're seeing certain brokerage houses hosting data on their servers and their software. You guys are independent. So if brokers feel like they want to move from one organization to another, they're never held hostage with where their data is being stored, which is on an independent product like Finmo and Lendesk. You guys don't own a brokerage house. You're not a brokerage house. You're strictly providing them a tool and resources and access to information, being able to send deals and data to appropriate lenders. What do you want to say about that? Because I think that is another elephant in the room. And I did want to bring it up because I think you guys have something a lot of people don't have. And I think it's something that brokers should very much be aware of and consider when signing up with Finmo and using Lendesk as their platform of choice to submit deals to privates and institutions.
I mean, I think you said it for us, Joseph. We are an independent company. We're not aligned with any particular brokerage. I mean, we will work with any brokerage and any broker at any brokerage. The opportunity we see here is to help brokers, lenders, and their mutual clients, the borrowers, you know, with a better experience to improve efficiency and to reduce the opportunity for fraud and errors. So, you know, we want to eliminate the chase for the broker. That's our mission, that's what we're focused on, and our incentives are aligned with our brokers to do that. You know, we don't have another business model like a brokerage that we are trying to protect or anything like that. And I think that, you know, Rob McClister said it best in a recent article on Canadian Mortgage Trends. He's talking about the mortgage wars. There's obviously a lot of choice for brokers today, and we're not the only independent platform. I think that's very exciting for brokers. It's a very exciting time for mortgage technology in our industry. But at the very end of the article, he makes a point that, you know, how do you pick? What do you do? There's so many different choices. And I think that one of the trends that we're going to see going forward here is that people are going to pick the platforms that allow them the most portability and flexibility in their business. Brokers are no stranger to choice. Choice is, I think, one of the biggest advantages that a broker has. And so, you know, I think brokers know full well that having choice to determine for themselves what's the best platform for their business is very important.
Yeah, I would say on top of the data, there's a couple things that you touched on it. It's interesting to me, like you say. I mean, it's one of those things you sort of try to stay away from, but it's sometimes people say to me, oh, you know, it's no big deal if I'm happen to be using a system that's owned by a competing network or anything like that. And it's probably true. You know, maybe there isn't a big boogeyman that's going to do something, but why would I even risk it? Why would I even chance it if there's other options available to me that I don't have to do that? That's always something that I've thought about. But the other big one is data security. Lendesk is SOC 2 compliant, which I think it's the only platform, including Finastra, that is got SOC 2 compliance, which is a seriously high level of security. Every single year we get audited by KPMG. It's onerous. It's on top of us. And that's because we have bank clients.
I'm sure most people are familiar with the idea of a financial audit where KPMG might come in and audit your financial statements. Not as many people are going to have heard of SOC 2 or know what SOC 2 is, but SOC 2 is an audit of your all your non-financial controls. So what it does is it ensures that we have policies and procedures in place internally to govern ourselves to a very high standard on a broad range of topics. So data security, employee background checks, employee onboarding, basically, you know, who's on our team, who has access to what information, how do they access it? And then, I think the crux of it all is that it's one thing to have these policies. It's another thing to have a procedure in place that makes sure that they're auditable so that a third party, in our case, it's KPMG, is able to come in and actually audit that all of these things are taking place. So when, you know, when we say to people, oh, your data is secure and don't worry, we're not going to sell your data or we're not going to market to your client base or something like that, I think that it's not just a promise in our case. We're audited. This is very real. Yeah. And that's not a small investment. Yeah. That's a very big investment. We've been SOC 2 audited for 5 years. It's a core part of, you know, I was describing earlier, our journey to go and connect with all of these major lenders. As a small company to be able to do that, we made the investment very early on in SOC 2 to help bolster our security qualifications to make that process that much easier. So it's a very expensive undertaking every year in terms of both internal, external costs, but it's one that I think is extremely important to us and our business. I would hate to see any sort of security breach or anything like that at any one of our competitors or in the industry. Certainly something we want to fend off for ourselves. But it's also very important for brokers to consider when thinking about the fact that their custodians, like we are, of their data, they are for their clients' data, and wanting to make sure that that stays safe.
Here's what I've always thought about, and I think we all could agree on this. Most of our industry, if we're, you know, the mortgage brokers, are, you know, small personal services business or boutique or, you know, mom and pop shops. I mean, absolutely, these aren't big companies, right? And so they go into any type of thing that they do. And I think all of their lives, we have this weird thing where we just trust. We have some level of trust with whatever platform I decide that I'm going to put into this. But, you know, here's something that I think all brokers should think about. For example, there are platforms that we compete with that are in the space that don't even require that the customer puts a password in to get into their portal. That's kindergarten level security, like data security. So if that link ever gets compromised, that customer ever gets their email phished, which happens alarmingly now. How many times have you seen where you're on Facebook and someone says, hey, don't open that thing, I got hacked. No, you didn't get hacked. You actually gave your login credentials to somebody who was phishing you. Happens all the time. And so if your customer happens to get, you know, phished and they get that out there, it's not even that high level anymore for that to happen. Actually, all of their data, all of their documents are now compromised. So as a small business person, like what would happen one time my database gets compromised and I'm in small town Ontario and that gets out into the, in, you know, on the media or whatever it might happen.
It's not good.
I think anybody's susceptible to phishing. We actually try to phish our own staff. It's one of our procedures that helps us with our training. Is one of our SOC 2 requirements. We actually have a third party vendor that we pay to try to phish our staff. And if they click on the wrong link, we actually go and bust them, and they have to do training. It's kind of a fun thing.
Yeah.
But very the point cool. I wanted to make is that anybody's susceptible to this, and it's not just the client. So certainly a password is a great start, as Greg mentioned, but it's also brokers, right? Like even a broker is susceptible to this. And this is another reason why getting these documents out of email and getting them onto the portal.
Or off their hard drive. How many brokers are sitting there with a laptop with all kinds of documents?
It's on their desktop. They literally have names of their clients' folders on their desktop. On top of it all.
But even then a broker could still be phished. They could still give their password inadvertently to somebody that could try to take that password and log into the Finmo, for instance. And that's why Finmo is also one of the only platforms in the industry to have two-factor authentication. So, you know, you can set up a text message or the Google Authenticator app to require a second method of authentication when you're logging in. So it's not just a password, but you can also enable it so that you need a second key to get in, which is dynamically generated, which means if somebody phishes you and gets your Finmo password, they're still not going to be able to use that just to get into Finmo. So
we take data security very seriously. Yeah.
I know it's a small sample size, but I can say that 25% of the people on this call have been phished. And, you know, Joe was locked out of his Instagram account for quite some time. He was not happy about that. I do remember that.
I got phished by my CTO, and I was one of those guys that Alex said, you know, I got phished because he's got really good stuff. And then I had to go take a course. So it's just part of our processes. Important. But I'm glad we touched on that because I think that's really critical.
And you know what? It's just something fun for the people that are listening. Small sample size, sure, but I bet you 25% of the people listening to this have been phished. And if you want to see, I mean, Greg was mentioning that he got phished by us. So it's not, he clicked on a link he shouldn't have clicked on. But if you want to see if you've actually been phished, go to haveibeenpwnepond.com and put your email address in. And what these guys do is they'll take your email address and they'll search all of the publicly available dumps that hackers have done where they've sold or assembled your email and passwords and other personally identifiable information about you online that's on the dark web. They don't make it available here, but they'll identify, hey, your email address was included in these three different breaches.
It is worth doing that. And password managers. I mean, the world's just gotten much more of that. You guys are doing the same thing. You look at all the data you guys have. I know you guys know this, but it's like, it's just gotten that way. And I think, again, like question I have, I'm just the broker that's trying to do my best. And I've got two systems I could pick. One doesn't have much of anything in terms of data security. And the other one has what we've been talking about. All things, why take the risk? Why would I do that? And I think that's important.
So SOC 2, you had your SOC 2, I don't know if you call them credentials or whatever you want to call them, but when acquiring Finmo, Is that now blanketed over Finmo as well? Are they part of that requirement or no?
It doesn't just automatically happen. It's something that we are intentionally making happen right now. So part of our acquisition of Finmo was we do a lot of diligence, right? And a big part of the diligence that we do is on Finmo's existing processes and procedures. And fortunately, Finmo was in the process of doing what's called a gap assessment to get your SOC 2 type 1 audit, which is your first audit. And then every subsequent audit is called a SOC 2 type 2 audit. They were in the process of working towards that. And so that's made the process of us bringing them into our policies and procedures that much easier. However, it's not something that just happens automatically. It's something that we are doing right now. So having closed the acquisition last month, we are now, as part of this integration, and we've got a big announcement coming at the end of this month on some of the big releases we're making. As part of that, we're working to bring the entire Finmo team, who are amazing people, by the way, bring them into our policies and train them up on our. We actually spent a whole week. Their first week was all just learning our policies and procedures and a few other fun things, bringing their processes into line with our processes, because, you know, we want to run one process so that we can make sure everything's easy to audit, et cetera. So we're doing that right now.
Hey, sounds like a fun week, of policies and procedures. I love it. That's
super
great.
Fun. Hey, Lawrence, just before we switch gears,
sure.
If it's okay with you, I'd like to come back to that. We left it hanging, and the brokers that are listening are going to be like, oh my God, what? Like in terms of the, you know, trying to eliminate their job or trying to, you know, touching on this whole idea.
Yeah.
So if it's okay with you, I'd like to go back to that real quick. I'll be brief. But when Joseph and I were talking, it's sort of like, you know, brokers think I don't need a tool like that. I know my lenders, which I think really, and I know this to be true because I did it. You know, you have a small sample set of lenders that get 80 to 90% of your business. And I get it. That makes sense. But the world's changing and the customer is now saying, you know, as a mortgage broker, insurance broker, whatever I might be, the term broker means that I offer choice. And so if I'm only ever showing up to my customer with one lender and one choice, that opens the door for them to shop. So within Lender Spotlight, for example, we have a tool where they can pick different lenders that I think learn that would be specific to that particular customer's. You filter it all out, and then you build a sheet that you can share with the customer with multiple choices.
Essentially based on what documents they can provide, what income they can validate.
Everything.
A lot of people are self-employed. A lot of people are not claiming everything because they're running business. They have expenses, so their line 150 is going to be significantly less, even though they can comfortably service those loans. Lender Spotlight says, well, you can't prove your line 150, your ratios are going to be out of whack, but these are the 3-4 products that are low doc or will accept bank statements or will actually give you a loan. Maybe it's 0.25% higher than, you know, the lowest rate on the market, but you can actually borrow money at these rates, guaranteed.
Yeah, the compare tool in Lender Spotlight, in my view, is actually the best feature of the entire product, because the broker now is very easily pushes one button, boom, I have a sales collateral piece that I can show the customer multiple different choices. And so that's that part. The other part was, man, if you guys are doing all this automation and you're going to make it, you know, what do they need me for? I mean, that's, we hear that occasionally, or this is so simple of an answer. It's the idea that we're trying to create the low dollar per hour activities, the administration, data security that we talked about, get all of that stuff out of the way so that you as a mortgage broker can spend more time doing what you're supposed to be doing or what you're best at, which is provide advice, provide counsel, you know, give options and, you know, talk about building your business. But, you know, shuffling paperwork from here to here or getting a document from here to over there, do you really want to do that? Why don't we take that out of the way so that you can do, you know, the high dollar per hour activity, which is talk to customers and write some orders.
Do more volume. I agree with you 100%.
A great example was the example you gave earlier, Greg, about eliminating the need for you to review the application to figure out what documents you need to ask for.
Perfect. Yeah, exactly.
And so
it was a big deal.
By automating that and by asking them immediately, we've done a few things, right? We've given a better experience, but we've also created more efficiency. So you can do more business, but you're also doing things you weren't doing before. You're offering a better experience. Same thing with some you know, text message notifications as you're getting the deal across the line, et cetera. Basically, we're helping you streamline and optimize your business and your process so that you can consistently deliver the best experience that you guys can and then scale your business to do that with more people.
It's always fun to hear about like the great things and the exciting things. But I know firsthand that in every software business, it's constantly evolving. You never have a completed product. You're always thinking about what more can I do? Where is the industry going in 5 or 10 years? And how am I going to prepare myself as a software owner to be able to adapt on the fly? What are some things that maybe you feel like you're maybe struggling with now or you're lacking now that is in the pipe that you know is, you know, not something that is great for you right now, but you are addressing it and you're moving towards a direction where you're going to maybe fix it or improve on it or...
Well, I mean, you know, I think I said earlier, we want to eliminate the chase for brokers. And part of that means that, you know, I believe a broker should in 5 to 10 years be able to just ask their client 3 simple questions. And I say 5 to 10 years, and I'll tell you why. It should be sooner than that, but except for the struggle. They should be able to ask only 3 questions. Prove your identity, purpose of the mortgage that you need, and permission to pull your data for you. And the struggle we have is with the third part. It's pulling the data for you. In order to be able to do that, we need data sets available that are going to allow us to do things like, for instance, verify income, right? CRA has got a lot of data. There's a number of different payroll providers that have a lot of data. Obviously, there's some amount of payroll data in people's bank statements that's available. There's a number of things we're working on there, and I hope to have some exciting announcements in 2021 related to that. But for the time being, it's still a struggle to be able to get access to the data that we need to be able to deliver on that vision. I say 5 to 10 years because I can't imagine a world where this isn't solved in 5 to 10 years, but you know, we're doing everything we can to work on delivering this far sooner than that.
Yeah, I would say that In fact, I just had a conversation with a broker this morning about this exact thing. So sometimes people ask us, what was the killer feature? What was that big thing you did at Finmo that changed everything? And I actually, and you guys are tech guys, you guys know this, but I actually usually answer this question with, actually the best features that we did is the ones we didn't do. You know, being able to have strong product management where you're actually thinking through, should we add this widget? Should we add this feature? Should we add that? And you know, some products in the marketplace, they just do that. And then you end up with this bloated, complex system. And so, but the struggle is real. Right now, for us, the biggest one is brokers saying to me, you know, a famous one is, I want the all-in-one solution that does everything and it'll wash my car and walk the dog and do everything for me. And, you know, and we're just like, oh man, listen, what part of your life do you currently use one tool that does everything for you? But okay, fine. I get it. All right. So the struggle is, how do we find that balance between, at Finmo, we always decided that, you know, no CRM, like, you know, because we want to do one thing really well, which is create the borrower experience. And so the borrower doesn't care if you have a synced up email and calendar system that's, you know, that you probably won't use. But we need to find that balance between what are some of the things that for sure brokers need that will help the borrower, you know, birthdays, anniversaries, annual reviews. I mean, those types of things, and not get into this vortex like some of our competitors where it's like, all of a sudden I'm rebuilding MailChimp or I'm rebuilding PipeDrive inside of my thing. Why would I compete with PipeDrive? PipeDrive's got hundreds of millions of dollars. I mean, I should actually connect to PipeDrive, which we do. So, and that's right. The struggle is trying to find that balance between, you know, giving the broker customer more of what they want without bloating the product and turning it into vanilla.
I was just going to say, you're not going to be able to be all things to all people, you know?
Right.
And so I think what Greg's describing, that struggle, what do we say yes to and what do we say no to? I think it's always a constant struggle. And I think it's something that we've done quite well. I think the way that we've solved that, the way that Finmo solved that, has been to welcome other apps into the process, right? So to connect very seamlessly with your favorite CRM or with your favorite email blast tool. You know, when you think about what an email blast tool like Constant Contact or MailChimp, what they're doing, helping you manage your list and then manage your unsubscribes and manage your email templates, et cetera, they're spending a lot of time and a lot of attention on one very narrow problem. Right. They're going to do that very, very well. And if we were to try to build all of that into our system, you know, that's, I guess we're always trying to skate to where the puck is going. And I think that, you know, we know that we're never going to be able to keep up with all the innovation. That's not to say that we won't offer some basic solutions to some of these problems, or over time peel off particular ones. You know, I think that what brokers really want when they say that they want an all-in-one system is that they just want a system, like an internal process that just works, right? And whether it's truly one system or a few systems that have been brought together to make a bigger system, I think it just needs to work. It needs to be easy to learn, and it needs to drive efficiency and a better experience.
I think you just touched on something interesting, because you said it's impossible for Lendesk. You know, let's use Lendesk as the middle piece here. You've got Automator on one side connected to you, right? The access to all, at least the private side of lenders. You've got Finmo, which has got access to all the brokers. And you, Alex, in the middle, are now connecting these other platforms that have been digitally been able to adapt to your system to create that all-in-one encompassing solution that brokers are looking for, which is get an app, submit it to an institution or a private, have that private respond to digitally, have that private be able to receive the documents from Finmo to Lendesk to the, you know, to our system, and then provide that all-in-all user experience of text messages, emails, keeping it safe, secure. I think you are doing that. I think you are creating that solution. And I think that didn't exist a few years ago.
Yeah, I mean, like Automator. If Automator all of a sudden decided, I'm going to rebuild QuickBooks, you know, we should do that. You know, like,
it's a good example.
That sounds like smart, right? But it's not, because
we're not an accounting software. We don't
we have the same struggle, right? We approach lenders who more times than not have nothing, right? They're using their Excel, their Microsoft Word, and then we show them our product and they say, well, do you have this, that, and the other on top of what you showed me? And we say, well, no. And we try to explain, like, you have nothing now. Like, you have zero. We're giving you what we feel is everything on the lending side, but you want more, the CRMs, maybe the accounting pieces, whatever it might be. But our view is similar, right? Which is, you know, there's one competitor in our space where they pride themselves on being an accounting software in the back end. And I'm saying, I'd rather just connect to QuickBooks.
Exactly.
Because I can't build QuickBooks, right? Like, their team is massive, right? All they do is think about accounting. So why would I bog myself down?
Well, they're also improving their platform based on new accounting principles.
Exactly. That's the big one. Sure. That's the big one.
To having to rebuild an accounting system with an automator would be a nightmare that I don't think anyone would ever want to get into.
But you make a great point. That's so important, because I make a decision to join a platform, like say in our space, I'm competing with, you know, other platforms. And to me, it seems crazy that I would make the first step is, well, what kind of CRM do they have? And that's not the number one job to be done. The job to be done is to get your borrowers, get them to have a safe digital experience and submit that deal to the lender. That's how you get paid. That's the number one job to be done. Make your decision based on that first. Then if it's CRM, well, I want this, I want that. Like you said, I mean, if I jump into this particular platform, now what happens when Zoho or Salesforce or Intercom or Pipedrive or any of these other platforms makes theirs better? Well, I missed out on that. Now I missed that. Yeah. QuickBooks makes it better. You know, and so, but I'm on this crazy accounting system that's not actually going to work for me. And it's hard. That's the struggle. Trying to convince the, you know, well-intentioned small business owners to say, you don't actually need this all-in-one does everything solution. That's the struggle is real.
Do you find it hard to say no to them? Or at least at the time, like, you know, when you were first starting out, when they said, hey, do you have this? And you...
I don't know how it works at Automator, but I got a sneaking suspicion because I know Pavel, but Carter, my partner, we touched on earlier, ran the product for Finmo. And now he's the chief product officer for Lendesk. And Lendesk's product team, some of the best in the business I've ever seen. And so we've always been a product drives sales, not sales drives product, which a lot of software companies are, you know, sales, the almighty dollar, got to drive a revenue. And so they go to the product team and say, I need this feature. I need this feature. I need this feature. And the product team doesn't have the autonomy within that organization to say, no, I'm not going to do it. And that's the secret weapon. If you have strong, talented product people like what we do, and I know you do, that they are smart. They're like, no, you don't need that feature. Go tell the customer they're not getting that. And our sales guys know that they can't promise something that they can't deliver on, because the product guys won't do it if they don't think it's smart.
So it's funny you say that. So we talk to clients, and obviously in the beginning, you're learning, you're understanding, maybe I am missing things. Maybe my competitors have these features that I don't have. And you do run into those crossroads and you make a decision. Do I build these features? Do I not? What do I focus on? Because you don't have an unlimited team of resources to build what you want on day one. And we've actually done a very good job now that we feel like we've built a very good platform today that people can use to run their companies. We've actually educated our clients on adapting to the system because of the way they've been running things back in the day. I'll give you an example. One client said, we want to round our payments. I said, what do you mean? You want to do a principal interest loan? They go, yeah, I don't like that it says $4,497.36. I want to say $4,450 or $4,500. I go, so it's a P&I loan then, because, you know, the interest portion is this amount and the difference is the principal. I go, no, it's an interest only loan. I go, so what do we do with the difference? We hold in trust and we give it back to the client at discharge. I go, but where is the thought process? Well, when my grandfather was running his lending business, he didn't like writing long checks. So we used to round payments. And that is literally how they've continued on that path of doing that. And so we said, well, if we do it this way, now we have a built-in pad. We have a built-in this. You actually have to worry about that anymore. And they go and they say, you know what? You're right. It is time for a change. It's not worth fighting about it. And we'll say to them, we don't have time in the schedule to build this one-off feature, which could cost us thousands of dollars in dev time, but also just we want to build features that we think could benefit the entire ecosystem rather than one individual. And if I give you a quote as to what this will cost you, you might not like it. People conform. They say, you're right. It does make sense.
I think a key piece we got to acknowledge here is that, you know, we wouldn't be in this business. You wouldn't be in this business if it weren't for your lender customers. We wouldn't be in this business if it weren't for our broker customers. And I think that we are learning every day from our customers. We're learning from our brokers. I'm sure you're learning from your lender customers. You know, they have tons of very, very valuable feedback. And so I wouldn't want or have this conversation be misconstrued to mean that we're constantly prescribing the solution. I think it's just that, you know, our job is more complicated than just, you know, giving people exactly what they've asked for. We are constantly listening to feedback, but then the product team that Greg, certainly the way we look at it at Lendesk, the product team that Greg referred to, it's their job to ask why and to truly understand what the need is. So like in your example, you know, the reason you didn't want to send around the payments was because they didn't want to write long checks. You recognized very quickly, okay, well, if that was the problem, guess what? We've actually solved that problem for you another way. Oftentimes, there's, you know, problems that people have and they fast forward to what they think is the right solution.
Correct.
And the historical example of this is, you know, Henry Ford says, well, if I asked people if they wanted a car, they tell me I want a faster horse, you know, or, you know, Steve Jobs asking people if they want iPads and people are like, I don't want an iPad, you know, but now it's a super popular product. So people don't always know exactly what they want, but what they do know is that they've got a problem, that something isn't working for them and it just needs to be done better. And that's where we like to come in and collaborate with our broker users and try to figure out what exactly is the right solution to this problem.
It makes sense. And I think that in order for a product to evolve, you have to listen to the market and you have to see what their problems are and hear them out. And you may already have a solution for them that they don't even know exists within your platform. And you let them know about that. You know, I know that when we first launched, we were at the time, we had a lending company and we felt we're a lender and everyone else is going to do everything the exact same way that we do. And we found out very, very quickly, that is not the case, right? Everyone does something differently. And a lot of people have great ideas and they've been in the industry a long time and we have to listen to them to evolve and create a better platform for all of the users. So, you know, you talk about your platform, you know, you have 10,000 plus brokers who use a piece of your platform. Like those are 10,000 minds, you know, 10,000 ideas.
But people talk about, you know, what's the future of the business look like? Are banks going to compete brokers out of the space or how's technology going to change things? Frankly, you know, brokers have the first big advantage they've got is choice. But second of all, I think it's kind of in line with what you just said, is the fact that you've got more than 10,000 brokerages and brokers in the space, all running slightly different business models, all competing, all innovating, all constantly iterating on their process to try to make things better for their clients and for themselves internally. And I think that's one of the most sustaining strengths of the broker model. And I think it's also a big reason, going back to some of the conversation we had earlier with, you know, Greg was mentioning why we don't try to just be one solution, everything for all people, is that there's so much variety in the way that people want to build their business that it's up to us to be able to accommodate all of them. And we do that by working well with other systems. There certainly are, you know, default ways that we over time are continuing to build into our system to try to solve certain problems. But I don't think it'll ever change that we will be the platform that has built a comprehensive ecosystem of partners. We love to partner with you. We partner with a number of other, you know, CRMs and other platforms in the industry to make sure that any brokerage, no matter how they've built their business, you know, or even teams within a brokerage or agents within a team, they have the setup and the system that they need to drive their success.
So you said there are competitors in the space that are affiliated with brokerages. There are some that are not affiliated to anybody. For brokers listening to this podcast who, I mean, you've heard of Lendesk, you've heard of Finmo. You guys are big names in the space. But for those people who haven't used your product before, but they've thought about it, they just haven't made that phone call. Why should they make the phone call? What sets you apart from the rest?
Well, I'm going to sit up in my chair for this one. Honestly, I'd say this all the time. I think you're right. I mean, you know, I got this, I got that. We talked a lot about those things. I think some of those micro things are worth considering. But here's what I really think is the bigger thing. I think if I'm a, you know, a small business person, you know, running my brokerage team or whatever it might be, you know, I need to make a commitment to technology and digital. And we've seen that with COVID for sure. People are certainly making more of that commitment. And so if I need to make the choice, notwithstanding all of the other things we've already talked about, the thing I think that's most important is innovation. So, you know, I would say which platform that I pick is going to be committed to continually innovating on, you know, a lot of the stuff we talked about, you know, the lender connection, this and that, all of those things. And so you might ask, well, how do I know that? And the only thing I can do is use the data I know right now. And so I would think about, you know, if I'm looking at Finmo, you know, we've been highly innovative. We went from, you know, zero to, you know, big amount of brokers inside 18 months. And we did that because we did product releases every 2 weeks. And I think brokers like that. If I think about Lendesk, quietly built the biggest lender network outside of Finastra, and did, that's highly innovative. And then if I think about, well, we're backed by the company that actually innovated the entire digital mortgage space in North America, I would say, you know, I could believe that this is going to be a commitment to innovation. When I look at some of our competitors, you know, I think about, I'm not sure they have that same track record so far in terms of a real strong commitment to innovating and making the space better. And that's what I would do. If I was thinking about the platform, I would be thinking about who's going to be with me to continually help me grow my business. And that's Lendesk.
It's a great answer. I love it. Just to finalize here, because it's been, you know, I don't know if you guys have stuff on your schedule or not. I know you guys are in a different time zone.
I'm having so much fun. I don't care. I missed the meeting already. So
you guys made the deal. Was there a celebration of any kind, whether it was separately or together? Did you pop open a bottle? Tell me what the process was like when the documents were signed, it was done. I'm sure there was excitement.
Well, we're a tech company in the age of COVID, so we use technology to our advantage and held a Zoom call. We signed all our documents with DocuSign. We used a really cool platform called Closing Folders that all the M&A lawyers love these days. Yeah, I mean, really, we unfortunately, Carter, one of our key team members, is based down in Colorado, and we couldn't get him up into Canada.
Oh God!
And then, you know, Greg's in Calgary, and then I'm here in Vancouver. So, you know, it's a distributed team. So far, the celebration has been done over Zoom, but
we're gonna do it. But I was just thinking about the other day. Alex is right. You know, it's like, obviously, I'm really happy with what happened. It was great for me, my shareholders, my family, and my partners. It was great. But I remember thinking, man, we did this entire complex transaction and we never, ever were face-to-face with anybody. That's a testament to where the world's going. I mean, you know, it was still crazy.
It's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I joke all the time, like, ever since the very first day Alex called us out of the blue and said, hey, you know, I had this idea. You guys willing to talk about this? And we're like, as a matter of fact, we are. And that we've been on a call every day, business day, for an hour since then, early June. And I think that's really cool. We built a great relationship out of that. But in terms of celebration, I did do this. Inside my friend group, you know, we have a tradition that when somebody has a big win like that, you got to take out the boys for, you know, dinner. And, you know, we had lots of fun. And I did that. And you know what? I felt great. I felt like these were my friends that, you know, were with me when, you know, the true friends where it's like, I don't even know how I'm going to make payroll next week. Those are the guys I could talk to and could understand that. And, you know, we went out for dinner and had a great time. So that's what I did.
Amazing. Amazing. And, you know, it's such a great answer. I kind of would want to just close it on that. But selfishly, I have another question. I don't know if you've seen the podcast before, but I'm a big pizza guy, right? No matter where I go, I like to try pizza places. So we have Calgary, we have Vancouver. What are the spots? Or one spot? What's your favorite spot that I got to add to the list?
Okay, well, that's good because pizza is my favorite food. So Alex, you go ahead.
I think this is embarrassing, but I mean, like, how do you beat Domino's cheese bread? Like,
Greg, what's the spot?
I love Domino's cheese bread.
I do agree with you though. I do order Domino's a lot, and the cheese bread is
actually good. Domino's is in my building. I will say this. I never thought I would eat Domino's again, but they're in my building. So it made it super good. And they have nailed a web online ordering system. It's
the best.
Unbelievable.
It's the best.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. I tell my wife I'm ordering pizza because I'm doing UI research. I gotta keep up with pizza tracking.
But
you gotta see when it's in the oven and when it's being delivered and when it's on the road. Yeah.
Those guys are innovators. Well,
yeah. If you want, so Lawrence, if you want like classic, you know, really the old school, like right from Italy style, there's a place in Calgary called Pulcinella. Comes out with all the stretched dough and everything. It's not perfectly circle and it's, you know, it's really good, classic. And then, I mean, listen, it's the Italians or the Greeks that have nailed pizza. Pretty much anybody else, second class. And so, you know, there's a Greek place in town called Nico's that makes an excellent, excellent pizza as well. So
incredible. Yeah. I love it. Greg, I know now I can come to you for the Rocket Mortgage Golf Tournament they throw in Detroit for the tickets. I don't have to go to Alex anymore. So that's exciting too. Guys, listen, we really appreciate it. We think that it's great. We're excited with what you guys are doing. We're excited to see the next 5-10 years. Keep killing it. And we love working with you guys. So
we're excited to see, we're excited to see what you guys are going to roll out in 2021. I think that's going to be a pivotal year for everybody. And I think you guys are going to make a really, really big splash with this new acquisition going into next year. I think it's going to be crazy times, Nick.
And for brokers listening who haven't used Lendesk or a Finmo or a Lender Spotlight, reach out to them. What do you have to lose? I mean, I think it's a great tool. It sounds like a great tool. I haven't personally used it. If they're telling the truth and what it does, you're crazy not to call them. So give them a buzz. Yeah,
thanks, man. That's all great. About.
And
I really enjoyed this. Thanks, guys. It was great. And we love working with you guys too. I mean, you guys got a fun team and everything as well. So here's to some more awesome times ahead.
We're excited to keep everything going forward. Thanks, guys.
The feeling is mutual. Thanks again for having us. And if you, like Lawrence said, if you haven't signed up for Finmo yet, finmo.ca, free 30-day trial. Check it out.
Thank you for tuning in to the Ask a Private Lender podcast. Go to askaprivatelender.com to check out the other episodes. Follow Mortgage Automator on Instagram, LinkedIn, and Facebook, and we're Automator Group on Twitter. And we'll see you in 2 weeks. Bye.